Unfortunately, in our shul, over the last couple of days, we've had so many shiva houses and so many families who are going through an experience of avelus. I thought it was something that was important for us to talk about, just something that's relevant to the parsha, but also for all of us who are here in shul to try and relate to all those who unfortunately are unable to be here with us. So number one, when we talk about the whole concept, the whole idea of avelus, you have to ask yourself primarily, is this a mitzvah midaraisa? Are we supposed to sit shiva because the Torah says so? Is this something that is only midrabanan? Where does this really come from? And that, obviously, if you look through all the pages of Chumash, you will not find anywhere that there is a mitzvah that says you should sit shiva for 7 days when, rachmana litzlan, when, God forbid, somebody in the family passes away. So where does the idea stem from? The Gemara seems to say that the original idea of avelus, the concept, is definitely something that is midaraisa. After all, we find by Aaron HaKohen, when he lost his two children, Nadav and Avihu, that there were certain restrictions that were in place for the beginning when that first period of the loss was setting in. So you see that there's a concept of avelus right off the bat that is obviously a din midaraisa. However, the Gemara then says that that really is only a mitzvah of avelus yom rishon. Just to be noig avelus one day is the mitzvah. And after that, the 7 days as we know them today are something that was instituted by Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is the one who came up with this concept of avelus of 7 days. And the reason why, the Rishonim say, is Mishum Kavod Haniftar. We sit shiva because we want to show respect to the one who passed away. Many might think the reason why we sit shiva is because we want to show respect to those who are still here, to the avelim who are mourning the loss. So we want to show respect to them, so we go out of honor to them. But it's really not the case. In Shulchan Aruch it says, what if you have somebody who passed away, and they are a Rasha, Meshumad, a terrible person, or whatever category that is. It's hard to describe exactly what that person is going to be. But either way, if you have such a person, the Shulchan Aruch says, we may not sit shiva for them. What do you mean? But the family members are still suffering a terrible loss. But the answer is, since the whole reason for the avelus is because it is out of respect to the one who passed away, therefore, if that person does not deserve the respect because they lived a life that was not a respectable life, we will not give the respect after they die either. We find this concept of Shivas Yamim, although it's true that Moshe Rabbeinu is the one who expanded this din of avelus and he made it into 7 days, we do find twice in the Tanakh that there is this concept of a 7 day period of avelus. Number one, when Yosef finds out about the loss of his father. So the Torah tells us in the end of Sefer Bereishis, Vayas li aviv evel shivas yamim. It says that Moshe Rabbeinu makes a mourning period of that Yosef makes a mourning period of 7 days. Where does this come from? Why? What's he doing 7 days of avelus? You see that this was a concept that was already around. It was already generated in the days of the Yavos and Imos. Yosef didn't make it up on his own. Obviously, this was something that he knew about. And secondly, when Eov is going through all the terrible Yisurei Eov, and as we know, he's finding out about one problem over the other problem, and one family member is lost, and another one passes away, a terrible story. There it says that his friends come to visit him, and they want to console him, they want to try to comfort him in some way. And it says that Vayeshu Ito La'aretz, they sit down on the ground with him, Shivas Yamim v'Shivas Leilos. Well, why are they sitting down 7 days and seven nights? What's that all about? So obviously it seems that this was an idea that was already around before the Gemara described it. Obviously Eov was way before the Gemara. But this was a concept that we find already in the days of Yosef HaTzadik, in the days of Eov, but really was instituted by Moshe Rabbeinu himself. So now let's ask a very strange question. Would there be a possibility to ever sit shiva, rachmana litzlan, would a person ever be able to sit shiva before the family member passes away? Now you say, that's a ridiculous question. Why would you ever want to do such a thing? Who would ever want to do? So I don't know what kind of situation you can conjure up on your mind, but let's say you have somebody who the doctors already said, doctors aren't always right, but let's say you have somebody the doctors say is showing signs that all the vital organs are already shutting down, and it's very clear that there's not going to be, unless there's some very unbelievable miracle, there's no way that this person is going to come back to a functioning life. And they give the person 24 hours to live. I happen to know this person, and this person is going off on a business trip, and he's not going to be around. Can he start the shiva beforehand? Whatever it is, he has a wedding coming up. His child is getting married in 7-8 days, and he says, you know, this is going to fester the simcha, it's going to get in the way. So, it's a very crazy way to think, but maybe it would be an idea. start the Shiva early. After all, I know the person's going to die at some point in the coming days. Maybe I would be allowed to do that. And then I would be able to work it out of my schedule. Now again, it's a very inappropriate kind of calculation to make. You try to schedule things around your own things that work nicely in your life. That's really not appropriate or a proper way to think. But that's a hypothetical question. Now normally this is not the course of events as we know it. Normally a family is there, the person passes away, they sit Shiva when they're supposed to sit Shiva. I just got a shout this morning from a Rav in another community. He said there was a member of his community who lost a relative in Eretz Yisrael on Shmini Atzeres. So obviously they did not call the family here on Yom Tov, but we keep 2 days of Yom Tov, they only keep one. So the burial already happened on Simchas Torah in Eretz Yisrael. It's not Yom Tov anymore, so they buried right away. And he was here in America. He only found out about it Matzah Yom Tov, when the rest of the family was already finished 1 day of Shiva. So he only found out about it a day later. He wanted to know, can he count the day of Shiva that his family in Israel sat already? Can that count for him? He didn't even know about it yet. Would that be able to count? Anyway, an interesting Shaila. The answer, just by the way, is no. Of course not. But again, that's not the normal course of events. Normally you have a family, they sit Shiva together, they count the 7 days. But the question here is, would a family be able to sit Shiva before the person has even passed away? Where does such a crazy idea come from? We look in this week's Parsha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Noach that there's going to be a Mabul. And before he brings the Mabul, the great destruction, onto the world, it says, Ki liyamim od Shiva, in another 7 days, Anochi mamtir ala aretz arbaim yom varbaim laila, in another 7 days I'm going to bring a terrible devastation onto the world, and it's going to rain for 40 days, 40 nights, and I'm going to destroy everything, Machisias kala yikum, everything that I have created, Bereshis bar lokim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, and now he's already changing his mind, he has to destroy everything, Ki malah haaretz chamas, the world is falling apart, everything's terrible, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu forecast that this is what's going to happen in another 7 days. What's the 7 days about? Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu wait 7 days, and then he told Noah, in another 7 days this is what's going to happen? So you'll say, well, it's not fair not to warn people. Really? Rashi tells us in Chumash that Noah was building his teva for years and years and years, and he was telling everybody God's going to destroy the world, and everybody laughed at him. What's another 7 days? You think anyone's going to do tshuva in 7 days? What's the 7 days about? So this is a question that's asked by the Talmud Yerushalmi. What's the 7 days about? Where is this Talmud Yerushalmi? Maseches Moed Katan. Maseches Moed Katan is all about the laws of Avelos. And there the Yerushalmi asks, hey, the 7 days, that sounds similar. When else do we have 7 days in Jewish halacha and Jewish law? It's by Shiva. Does this have something to do with Shiva? Can't have to do with Shiva. After all, you sit Shiva after the destruction. So what's going on here? So the Yerushalmi says, the answer is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did it because he was sitting Shiva for the world that was about to be destroyed. What does that mean? Sitting Shiva for the world that was about to be destroyed? Anybody here ever heard of the idea that you should sit Shiva before a family member passes away? It's wild. So Yerushalmi says, no. A human being can't sit Shiva for a relative before they pass on, because after all, we don't know exactly whether or not it's going to happen. A miracle can always take place. However, Avala Kodesh Baruch Hu, Sheyodea Masha Asilios, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that knows what's going to happen in the future. So what's the difference if he sits Shiva now, he sits Shiva later? He knows it's going to happen. It's not like it's something that he's not sure about. The Ribbono Shel Olam made a decision that this is what's going to happen, and therefore it's going to happen. So what does it matter if he sits Shiva 7 days before or 7 days after? It's the same thing. It's the same thing. He knows it's going to happen. But what's going to happen if a human being sits Shiva 7 days before they think their relative is going to pass away? And then we've all heard about these great miracles. Every so often it happens. And the person lives another 20, 30 years. So how do you explain? Why do you sit Shiva? What was that about? That's why the Yerushalmi says, we don't have this idea about human beings. But the Ribbono Shel Olam, the 7 days that he waited before the Mabul, was because he wanted to sit Shiva. Fascinating. He wanted to sit Shiva on the world before its destruction. And this becomes a major dispute among the Achronim. What do we learn from there? Is a human being allowed to do it? Again, let's say take that example. Someone's making a simcha, someone's making a chasana in 8 days from now, and they say, you know, it would be very convenient to start the Shiva 1 day earlier before the person passes away. Would we be allowed to do such a thing? Is this a precedent, or perhaps not? So there's a fascinating tshuva of Reb Shlomo Kluger. What time is Marv? Was it ready? I missed it? Sorry. Okay. So, Reb Shlomo Kluger, you should know, has an amazing tshuva. You'll look it up, if you have the sefer at home. Or should I go another 2 minutes? Explain? All those who don't want, you can walk out on me. It's fine. So Rav Shlomo Kluger has a tshuva in one of his beautiful svarim where he says, well, maybe you're only not allowed to rip kriya before somebody passes away, but you'd be allowed to sit shiva before somebody passes away. What kind of distinction is that? It sounds very arbitrary. He says, no, because the laws that govern kriya are one of the most fundamental principles of kriya is it has to be b'shas chimum. It has to be when a person feels the devastating loss. If, let's say, you find out about something 5 years after it happens, you don't care so much, so you don't tear kriya. The Gemara says, if somebody's in the room b'shas yitzias neshama, not a family member, somebody else happens to be in the room and somebody passes away, they have to rip kriya. Why do they have to rip kriya? Because it's a devastating loss. They just experienced something terrible. I am not a relative. Doesn't matter. But you just felt something, a tremendous loss, a loss of life, a loss of an neshama. That's something that requires a kriya because there's a chimum. There's something, I get agitated. I feel the loss. So he says, maybe you wouldn't be allowed to rip kriya before something terrible happens, but you would be allowed to sit shiva before. And the question that everybody asks is, did he miss a simen in Shulchan Aruch? If you look in Shulchan Aruch, Yeridea, Hilchas Avelos, the Ramah actually talks about this beferish. The Ramah in Simon Shin, Ayin Hay, Sif Katan Aleph, you can look it up at home, quotes in the name of the Rush that one would not be allowed to start a Shiva before the passing of a relative. And this is more relevant before modern technology when we can know with certainty when somebody passes away. So the case that he gives there is he describes a situation where somebody thought that a relative passed away and it turns out it wasn't really the case. Turns out the doctors thought that they were finished treating the patient, and then about 6-7 hours later, it turns out that no, the person still has a pulse. So again, it's very unlikely that that would happen today, but that's the case that the Ramah is describing in the name of the Rosh. In the days of the Rishonim, that was very likely that that could happen. And in such a case, the question then becomes, well, can we count? You know, and then later on in the day, the person passes away. Can we count whatever they did beforehand or not? And the Ramah says, no, the Shiva has to begin after the person passes away, after they do a kvura. That's when you start with the shiva, but you can't start it beforehand. And he quotes this Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says, only by God himself would he be allowed to have this thing of shiva before the devastating loss, because he knows it's going to happen. But by Basav Adam, we never know exactly what's going to be, so we cannot forecast it, and therefore we cannot go ahead and observe the laws of shiva either. Anyway, a very interesting shaila. Should never be nogeh lemaisa for anyone, but something to think about. And for all of us here in Shul, to give thought to all those, unfortunately, who are in the middle of Avelos, we extend our condolences to Steve Wald, who is here davening with us. You should have a nechama min ha-shamayim, and all of us should be able to celebrate Simchas together.